kids and learning about their lifestyle and how things got to be the way that they are, I wrote a song called Ubuntu, which is also called Water into Wine, and that was released as a song on Bandcamp that you can download for however much money you want to pay, and all the money goes to the fundraiser I've put together for them, so that at least that they'll have the bare essentials, which is, you know, a nice roof over their head that doesn't leak when it rains, and school clothes, make sure they got school supplies, and just all that stuff, and, you know, medical care as well, but still that's something we're trying to figure out, make sure that it's all being taken care of the right way.
Interesting. You know, and for those of you that just tuning in, we're talking here with Sage Francis, by the way, with Strange Famous Records, Great Underground Hip Hop. And we're talking about your charities going on in Africa. I'm curious, what brought you to that path? What actions in your life brought you to the path to be helping these people?
Well, I think my music has always touched on social injustices. It's just, that's what I was taught through hip hop. That's what I explore in my music, in my lyrics. It's not just, I mean, people tag me as sort of a emo personal poet, and I am to a degree, but I'm like, I like to tell the story of the voiceless. That's something I learned through hip hop, is something I learned through folk music and just art in general. And I think that people who need and deserve their stories to be told, when I become aware of those stories, there's like this responsibility that I have as an artist to make sense of it and present their story to my listenership, which I'm fortunate enough to have, and a listenership that has grown over the years due to my consistency and the quality of work that I do. And so, yeah, I mean, it's good just not to always talk about myself and my own direct struggles, but to share those stories. So that's kind of, I'm receptive to that stuff. And I think the people who organized that trip were aware of that, and they brought me out for that purpose. And I really didn't expect a song to come of it. I mean, I'm exposed to a lot of things. I've witnessed a lot of struggle in my life, in my personal life, and just in other people's lives. And it doesn't always turn into a song, but at that point, when I sat down to write this, there was just so much material to draw from and so much emotion that it had to come out, and the song format felt the best to me.
Do you think that struggle is a constant theme for your art?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think so. I mean, if I go back, I started writing and recording when I was like 8 years old, 9, 10, 11, 12, all through young adulthood and old adulthood. And there are certain themes that continually pop into my music. There are things that I know that I'm just very receptive to. And I'm not sure if that is the main fuel source of my art, but it's definitely a part of me as a person. And it gets I express my... the core of my personhood and my humanity and my music. So it's there.
Would you say folk music is a big drive behind that art?
No, I think folk music, I think country music, I think a lot of the music genres that were lyric based share a lot of similarities with hip hop. Hip hop is obviously the most word heavy, but folk is a close second. And folk was folk was the first music genre other than blues, but blues and folk that kind of was just telling this story of a struggle, that the music helped share the stories to people who normally wouldn't hear those stories. I mean, that's an old tradition, actually. It obviously goes back to even gospel, you know, like even goes back to not even sing, but the griots and spoken word traditions, which I think eventually did evolve into folk music and country and hip hop.
Now that comes back to your music, coming back to the roots of yours. Do you feel, you know, you called yourself emo earlier? It was kind of funny because, you know, when I think about emo rappers, I don't think about you. I think about maybe Cage or somebody, you know, like, But when I think about you, I think a poet. I think somebody who has had poetry influence a lot of his life. Would you say that spoken word and poetry have been a bigger influence for you? Would you label yourself more of as a poet than maybe?
No, I actually don't. I mean, I think the public labels me more as a poet. I label myself more as an MC, but with a great focus on lyricism. But same with Cage. I feel like it depends when you get into an artist and to know their history and where they started. I mean, if you ask me to label someone like Cage, he was really more on the hardcore tip of hip hop. It was not, his look is, it's an emo look, like in the past few years, but he's more of a poet to me than most MCs out there. His lyricism is supreme. His style of writing is well beyond what most rappers have the capabilities to duplicate. And I do notice that his style switched. We all grow and develop and change and try out new things. And I know that the look that he presented definitely is like what you would see from an emo rock group or whatever. But the first album, the Personal Journals album, emo rap was never a term that was used.
We
put that in our press release as a half joke that really took off and ended up getting applied everywhere. And that is funny to me, but at the same time, it became a bane of like my media relations, because then it was just a way to tear down what I do. You know, it was like, I make, my art is confessional, you know, it's confessional music. It's truthful music. And yeah, I mean, I'm emotional, but when you say something's emo, then you start to picture like
goth or something, thing. And then a pop punk goth or something. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
There's just terms get floated around, and then people have different definitions of what they are.
That's true. That's true.
Everything gets misconstrued that way, so you got to be careful. We thought it was funny at first, and then we really regretted it down the line.
Well, it's funny because you know, one of your guys, Cecil Otter, he's one of my favorite by far.
Yeah.
And
incredible.
Somebody came to me, and I love the whole Doomtree crew, but somebody came to me and said, you know, we were listening to, was it Black Rose by Cecil Otter? And he's like, man, is this emo rap? And I had never, ever categorized Cecil Otter as emo rap. And so that's an example of maybe how people see that, but I don't ever see it like that. I always consider Cecil Otter like blues rap. That's what I see Cecil as.
I think that's a good description. I mean, that dude, again, a lyricist, like tried and true.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite lyricists in our genre, and he's very concise, and he doesn't release a lot of stuff. So it's kind of, you know, he focuses a lot on the music. He cares a lot about the music. He won't release anything unless it fits his standards. And, you know, salute to that dude for doing that, because in our day and age, it's really, music's become so disposable, especially in hip hop.
Yeah.
When it's so easy to record a beat and record your vocals and just throw it out as a free release and just flood the channels, totally saturate the market and make it difficult for people to find worthwhile music, stuff that if you listen to 50 times, you'll still find new nuggets of information within, you know, the labyrinth of words that these people have taken the time to put together. He's one of those cats, and I'm proud to have him on Strange Famous Records, absolutely. But yeah, to call him emo, he's a very guarded individual.
I would never label him that, you know, like,
he's a guarded dude. Yeah. He's a smart dude too. And,
we've met him a couple times and that would definitely not be what I label him.
maybe if people hear someone who doesn't sound like they're angry, or if they're not a thug or whatever.
You know, the whole Lil Wayne generation really kind of brought everything downgraded. I felt like we were evolving, and then things started screwing up again, you know, on the mainstream circuit, it seems like. But hey, that's the name of the game. Well, what is it like, by the way? Like, you've got all these people you're working with in the label and stuff. What's it like working with all this talent and running it and also being part of the talent? How does that affect you? How do you feel about it all?
It's a bit overwhelming, because I feel responsible for them to get what they deserve. And in a field where almost all of us don't get what we deserve, it's almost to be expected that you're kind of going to be ignored by most media outlets, and the majority, even of the hip-hop listenership, is going to blow you off because you don't adapt to the new trendy styles, and maybe they're not familiar with how everything originated and how it was evolved during the time where I think the indie hip-hop movement kicked into full gear in like the late 90s and early 2000s, and we're following that path. It's almost like it had branched off the whole hip-hop thing, where there once was solidarity, everyone always listened to the same albums. It's totally not that anymore, and to bring something into our flow of things, it takes additional effort, and then once they're usually locked in, because I think you do derive more meaning and more enjoyment out of stuff when it's you know how to find it in the stuff that sure. we do. So no, but that takes additional effort. So I put that effort in for myself. I put that effort in for our artists, but nobody in our field gets what they deserve, and we feel that. And I know that our artists feel that. I know that almost every artist I've ever talked to feels that. So for me to juggle that, understand how they're feeling, and it's multiplied by how I feel about the situation as well, me wishing we could get more for them, me wishing we could grow the listenership without ever compromising our integrity, and not do the cheap tricks that I see a lot of other cats doing, which sometimes it works one off, but then eventually they get trapped in or pigeonholed into some corny bullshit. I can't do that. Like, my whole career has been based on avoiding that stuff, and I'm well off for it. And I want everyone else that I work with to be well off for it. And that's the same reason we don't sign a lot of acts, because to keep our company relatively small, just so that they get the attention that each project needs, that's important to me, and I'm afraid actually of overshooting our output, and like, yeah, we need this artist, yeah, we need to do this project, yeah, yeah, like, no, we need to chill, make sure every single thing is taken care of with the few resources that we have, that we give as much attention to it as we have, or we can get it to it, you know, all that stuff.
Right, I got you. Yeah, I mean,
and
that's
at the same time, my hope, this is another reason why here we are in 2013. My last album came out in 2010. I've been working on it, but truthfully, most of my time and energy has been going to other people's projects and sure. into the labels. So sure. it's affected my output. Yes. And that was, I can't cry about that, because that's something I signed on for. You know, I did take on this responsibility. I do believe in it. I do sweat blood and cry for this shit, so now I just gotta I gotta see it through, make sure it's all done right, and hopefully other people will be able to step in and take care of a lot of things that have been taking up my time, so I can finally follow through with why I'm in the game in the first place, is to get my music out there and make sure it's all that it can be.
What made you want to start a label?
I didn't really want to start a label. I think I had to, because there was not another label who was looking for a strange white kid from Providence, Rhode Island, who kind of like swatted away all the norms of hip hop and wanted to do his own unique thing with it. So I was like, all right, there's not a label that's going to pick me up. I need to figure out how to get my music out there. And I didn't think I'd live off of it, but once I started selling enough tapes that I was printing myself and making all the covers and doing everything, doing the CDRs when that technology was available, and doing the shows, winning over crowds, winning the battles, and that's how like my name got out in a variety of ways. So there became a demand for my music, and I did my best to supply that demand, but I wasn't able to get as much out there as people wanted, and that's when other labels stepped in. But that is how my label first got started. And once I figured out the ins and outs of the industry, the way the business ran back then, which is not how it's run now,
sure.
that's another thing. Like, the industry just keeps changing at such a rapid pace. To keep up with that is a job all in itself. But it's like I put out my music. I figured out the avenues to go down. Then I wanted other people to benefit from that, and I let that happen through Strange Famous Records. So at first it was absolutely just me. And then it was me and another person and a couple people and then a few. Our staff grew, the roster grew, our outreach grew. And then in 2006, by that point, we were, you know, full on, but that's when the industry just started falling apart. And that's when like illegal downloads actually really did affect our income. Mm-hmm. When we had to figure out how to spend money to make money, but not spend too much money, because it was like we're not seeing as much money on the return. So we made a few mistakes along the way. We had some setbacks. That's why a lot of indie labels folded. I mean, Death Jocks went down. You might notice a couple other labels that really changed their path, changed their style of music in order to just stay afloat. And we toughed it out. I mean, it was very close to us closing doors, but I couldn't do that just yet, and I'm glad we stuck around because things are definitely starting to pick up. Got the new Prolific record about to come out. I'll be playing with him in Colorado. And we actually signed a couple acts who I can't mention yet, but sure. We got B Dolan, you know, we'll be working with Buck 65, sure, Cecil sure. Otter, Sleep from Old Dominion. Yeah, it's going well. I'm happy about it.
Nice. How many people do you have signed under you right now on the rap
field? As far as active, like people who are planning on releasing stuff, let me see. We got E. Dolan, Buck, Cecil, Scroobius Pip from London. We also work with Buddy Peace out of London. He produced the new Prolific record. The Meter Maze from Brooklyn, and Sleep. I think about, as far as active artists who are planning on putting out more stuff, about seven, including me.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, for every independent hip hop label I've seen, that's pretty good. So.
Yeah. And we got a couple new acts who have not released an official album yet, so we're investing in this whole idea of breaking an artist, which is sure. To do that now, that's scary when people don't have a proven history of sales,
yeah.
And we're going to invest in them. But that kind of stuff, the business side of things, does get me excited sometimes, which is weird. But it's inspiring just to like have that gamble, because you believe in music so much. Like,
yeah,
man, even if I lose money on this shit, I believe in this music. So let's give this a go. Yeah, I'm pumped.
That's awesome. So let's talk about your new album.
Okay.
What is, well, when is the release date is the first question.
Well, I can't say that yet because I don't know, but the original plan was to have it out by the end of the year and then tour worldwide for quite a while after that. But the more I write, the more that I figure out the songs, the more I realize this might take longer than I wanted it to. I have about 18 songs that are written, but some of them are branching off into different songs, and then I'm realizing I'm doing a project with B. Dolan called The Epic Beardmen. We released a video called Too Bad, and that's like a fun...
I think I saw that.
It's like we smash up a school. We go inside of an elementary school, and we just smash everything to shit.
Yeah.
So that's the fun stuff, you know, like that's the... When I write with B, like we tour together, we do a lot of our shows together, and me and B Dolan we're kindred spirits, man. We in a lot of ways, and we look like brothers, and we got the beard, so it's kind of a fun project for me to vent frustrations through, where we both get off about a lot of shit, and it comes out in our music. So that's something that might take up some of my time, but other than that, working on my album, realizing I have released about 7 to 8 official projects in my career, and I've put a lot of myself out there, and I need to make sure that the follow-up here, what I need to do now is not repeat myself in any obvious way, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and live enough life where I can tell that life in new music. So that's another reason I've kind of been holding off, because there are some things that I guard from the public, and there's a large part of my personal life people already know, and I don't want to compromise myself. I don't want to compromise people I love, people who are with me, by just kind of whoring them out on my music. There's more interesting ways that I need to figure out how to tell those stories. So yeah, I'm just going to stay ultra aware of that. And I'm also working with new producers and figuring out what they're capable of, and how we can get stuff sounding as good as possible. So yeah, there's a lot to figure out still. I'm the funnest part of making an album is writing it though. So
yeah,
I'm just drawing that out.
right. Trying to get the best enjoyment out of it possible.
You're defined by it ever after. You know, like, this is something that people die for sometimes. They get so excited about it. And I was too. But then after you do it time and time again, you realize, well, like, now I have to be careful not to ruin any kind of legacy I have, but also not to just appease the people because of what they want. It has to be what I want, and hopefully it still fits in with what they're expecting from your music.
Right. Right. Now, this show coming up.
Yeah.
What can we expect from this show? What can we expect to see from Sage Live?
Well, the show in Boulder, this is going to be one of the first times I play there in ages. I think like 5 to 7 years. I think I've been playing Denver more often than Boulder. And my earliest memories of playing Colorado was in Boulder and playing at the Fox. And when I was touring with Atmosphere and doing all the other stuff back in the early 2000s. And I'm just excited really to get back there, reconnect with those fans. So I'll be playing a mixture of old stuff, like going way back even to the Sick of mixtapes, obviously Personal Journals, a mishmash of each official album, a couple brand new stuff that I've never performed before, and I just, you know, make sure that people hear what the songs that they love, but also I want to feed them new stuff to go home and thinking about, wow, like, I can't wait to hear that shit on record, you know.
For sure. Now, are you touring with anyone, or is it just you, or are you just doing local acts at each venue, or what?
No, well, I'll be doing every show that I do is going to be with Prolific, who's, he's from Rhode Island. His new album will be dropping. We'll have it with us on these shows. And also, Wheelchair Sports Camp, who's from Denver.
Ah, we've actually interviewed them before. We know Wheelchair.
Okay, yeah, they're going to be doing the Boulder show with me. They're going to be doing the Durango show with me, and we also just picked up Grand Junction, so it'll be April 18th, 19th, and 20th, and the 20th is going to be Durango, and I know Colorado has, like, the legal weed thing happening, and 420 is a big deal, and I'm trying to, like, not get a contact high anywhere, but if I do, you'll catch me in a corner crying somewhere.
Well, okay, so if you see Sage Francis crying, don't pass him the joint.
No, I'll be high already, just kind of like pat my back, console me, tell me everything's gonna be all right, tell me I'm an okay person.
All right. And you heard it here first.
Yep.
All right. Well, man, I'm very excited to see the show. I'm glad you're coming back to Boulder. I can't say in my time frame here, I've never seen your name on the Fox, and it's exciting to know that you'll be there. So.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite venues. Shout out to Nancy Drew Presents. Shout out to everybody who helped make it happen. And, yeah, bringing my crew through and kind of re-sparking these old flames from when stuff was so exciting and new to me. I look forward to redoing that. So, I've always had a lot of fans out there. Colorado is my strongest market, which is very strange because it's Colorado and I'm from Rhode Island, but I love that. So we're running through there and holding a torch. You can let your joints off of it.
There you go. All right. Hey, I wanted to thank you very much for doing this interview with us, and I look forward to the show. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask if you could maybe do a drop for the station.
Mm-hmm.
So basically just, you know, whatever you want to say, Sage Francis and Greenlight Radio.
So I say you're listening to Greenlight Radio?
Yeah, exactly. Just say whatever you want to say. Just say who you are and that they're listening to the station and fill in the rest as you see fit.
Okay, well, what's up, y'all? This is Sage Francis from Strange Famous Records, independent hip-hop in your ass. You're listening to Greenlight Radio. Can I swear?
Nice. I like that. That was beautiful, man. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, can you do me one more favor? Just because the DJ who wanted to interview you couldn't make it. Can you just give me a shout out to him, actually?
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second here. So his name is DJ A-Rex.
A-R-E-X?
Yeah.
A-Rex.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, this is Sage Francis. Peace to DJ to Greenlight Radio Squad. Strange Famous in your area. Boom!
Can you do that one more time?
Yep. Shout out to DJ A-Rex. This is Sage Francis from Strange Famous Records, representing independent hip-hop, underground music, and body art. Peace.
Sweet. Thank you, man. I greatly appreciate that. That was awesome, man.
Cool, man.
All right. Well, shit, man. I'm excited to see the show. We're going to pump it up, and I'm going to play this interview tomorrow.
All right, cool. Hey, hit me up if you need anything else, and make sure to introduce yourself at the show.
Okay. Yeah, man. I'll say what's up.
All right, brother.
All right. Cool, man.
Peace.
Peace.